T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mr. President, you're driving us crazy.
With all this mess, the radio is the only thing that's really working good.
Stop spending! Stop spending!
Welcome to the dawn of a new unified Republican government.
They can run the okey-doke on you, bamboozle you.
We are not enemies, but friends.
So we finally have this God that's gonna come down and help us all.
Now, Mark Reardon.
You just referred to Trump as a God.
Yeah.
On KMOX.
George Shea doesn't want to play today. What's going on with that? Are we having technical difficulties? Let me try one more time.
It's go time. It's go time time. It's go, no go, lock and load, love him and leave him, smoke him if you got him, see him when I see it, because it's time for Mark Reardon time.
Hey, it worked. What do you know?
Back up, you creep. Get away from me.
Oh, that reminds me. There is a, let's just give some free advertisements right now. Why not hand out a little freebies? That's the spirit of our new company here, I think. Entercom St. Louis. Shh, don't tell them I said that. I think we have like one of the big shots in town today, don't we, Dave? Like one of the muckety mucks? That's what I heard. I saw it on the sign out there. All right, so here's the free advertisement for... This might
if
be my last show. This might be my
States,
last show because...
That...
Wait, there it is here. Let me just say something real quick. I did not push that button. There are weird things happening right now. Oh, my gosh. All right. That was a great start to the show. A good thing one of the big shots from the company is in town, right? That makes me feel real good. I was going to say, it's probably my last show, ladies and gentlemen. It's been great to know you over the last 12 years, and I really appreciate your support. So they have a new ad out. It's not necessarily a Josh Hawley ad, if you will. It's a pack, a super pack ad about our friend, my friend, Senator Claire McCaskill. And I do genuinely like Senator McCaskill. I think she votes incorrectly on most of the issues in Washington. And I think she's in a fair amount of trouble politically, although you just don't know. You know, the one thing I would caution people, and I've done this for a long time now, and it's very dangerous to do political predictions. And most of you know that I was very wrong on the possibility of Trump not only winning the nomination, but winning the presidency. But now more than ever, and I tweeted something about this yesterday. I think I retweeted Joe Manis, who was commenting on this, that it's really difficult in March or April of 2018 to predict what people are going to be feeling in October, November of 2018. So the mood's going to change dramatically, probably, and it's going to go back and forth. And you have no idea where the electorate's going to be right now. And we're going to go down some of the election results from Illinois yesterday and what it may mean for the future and what it may mean for Republicans. But the one thing that is certain is that people change all the time. And I think I just looked at my Twitter feed. Maybe I forgot to retweet that. Someone was pointing out, either Jason Rosenbaum or Jason Hancock from the Kansas City Star and Joe Manis, who used to be at the Post-Dispatch, that Chris Coster, you look back to 2016, and in September of 2016, when he was running against Eric Greitens, he had a 16-point lead. I mean, you remember, that looked like a blowout. And that was in September. That wasn't in March. So things changed very quickly. But here's the ad where they're going right after Sarah McCaskill with her loyalty in the last election to Senator Clinton, Secretary of State Clinton, Mrs. Clinton, whatever you want to say.
If you look at the map of the United States, there's all that red in the middle where Trump won.
The first woman president in the United States of America.
The first official endorsement by a member of Congress for a 2016 presidential prospect is in. Claire McCaskill, Missouri's second-term Democratic senator, teamed up this week with Ready for Hillary.
All right, so what they're doing here is they're just painting her as this big Hillary supporter in a state that wasn't very Hillary-friendly, although St. Louis County certainly went against the grain on that one. And they have all these sound bites in here from Hillary, and the link to Claire McCaskill is pretty clear here.
Make America great again, was looking backwards. You know, you didn't like black people getting rights. You don't like women, you know, getting jobs. You don't want to, you know, see that Indian American succeeding more than you are. Whatever your problem is.
All right, let's stop right there because that's a very important point. And, you know, if I were the, and I think they know this, the people running the political campaigns right now, there is this, there's this notion on the part of the West Coast and the East Coast elites that we're just a bunch of dumb rednecks here in this part of the country. Missouri and Illinois, rural Illinois, the flyover states, you don't know what you're talking about. You just hate black people. You hate Native Americans. You hate Mexicans. It's not about jobs. It's not about your family. It's just that you're bad because you vote Republican and you just don't get it. You're not smart enough to understand the reality of the situation. And that's what she's saying here, basically.
And his whole campaign, Make America Great Again, was looking backwards. You know, you didn't like black people getting rights. You don't like women, you know, getting jobs. You don't want to, you know, see that Indian American succeeding more than you are. Whatever your problem is, working for, you know, a woman now, you don't like it. Whatever the reason was, he stirred that up.
Well, it became very clear in the aftermath of the election, and we even saw this. I think that, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't there some stuff from Hillary last week when I was on vacation, even more that came out, more comments, because they've been so condescending. And still, you know, a year and a half after this election, I think she doesn't get it. A lot of Democrats don't get why they got their butts cleaned in that election. Then you could say everything you want about the, you know, the popular vote total. But in the states that mattered, she didn't do well. And she didn't do well in Wisconsin, which had not elected a Republican since Ronald Reagan or voted for a Republican nominee. So there were significant historical trends that were blown up because how awful of a candidate she was. So what do you do if you're trying to win a Senate seat in Missouri and flip one of these seats, which is certainly possible? This is one that gazillions of dollars will be spent on this race here, whether it's Josh Hawley or someone else. And there's an opportunity to link her to Hillary Clinton. I think most people kind of get that, but they're going to make that very apparent here in the coming months. All right, we're going to talk about Facebook this afternoon, whether or not this whole thing is with Cambridge Analytica is a scandal or not. Was it mishandled by Facebook? Do you want to get off Facebook? I'm seeing more and more people saying, you know, it's time to get off Facebook. I don't know how you would find your ex-girlfriends if you do that, so you may want to think about that. We'll talk about it. We'll take some calls this afternoon. I mentioned Illinois and what happened there. J.B. Pritzker will face off with Bruce Rauner. He wins the primary, although I don't even know if Jeannie Ives has conceded yet. There was some questions about that. So that's coming up. We're going to go down to Jupiter this afternoon. Tom Ackerman, an update and the latest on the Cardinals as we get closer and closer to real baseball. A week from tomorrow is opening day. And then tomorrow on the show, just a heads up on something, EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt has asked to be on the show. And when I say asked, they said they'd like to announce something. They did this last time with the Westlake landfill. So Scott Pruitt is a very wise EPA administrator, because he knows this is where you go to get that information out. And then we have a roundtable set for Friday. No baseball on Friday. Jane Duker, Chris Goodson will be with me. Alderman Scott Ogilvie. Lots to come still this week. Facebook, the topic coming up next.
St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1120 KMOX and KMOX.com.
So I've got even people out there that I follow on Twitter. My friend John Lamping, former state senator. I saw him tweet about time to get off Facebook, and he's, I think, concerned about this data breach scandal or whatever you might want to call it. I have some mixed feelings about it, but let's get with CNET executive editor Ian Scheer. He used to be at the Wall Street Journal. He knows a lot about these topics. Joining me this afternoon, he's kind of our go-to technology guy on the Mark Reardon Show. We might have to give him some official title. Ian, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Well, apparently Facebook is the scourge of the world right now, right? That's like the worst thing you can do is support Facebook.
They're having a very hard week and really a pretty tough year if you count it. It's just been one problem after another, and this is snowballing into one of the biggest scandals that they have faced in a long time.
Okay, but here's my question. I'm going to push back just a little bit. Is it really that big of a scandal?
You know, it's interesting. There are a lot of people who have different points of view on this, right? Some people have been coming back at me on Twitter and saying, well, you know, the Obama team did this too. Why is Trump getting all the attention? And then other people point out that isn't this just the way that Facebook works normally, like their advertising practices? And the important thing to keep in mind here is what is different here is that Facebook actually lost control of data in a way that they really haven't made public before. So you have this app developer at the University of Cambridge who creates this app ostensibly as a personality quiz, but is actually designed to hoover up all the information out of your Facebook profile as possible. And that includes your name, your location, your photos, your friends, your likes. And this is totally normal. A lot of app developers do this, so all so far is good. But then he turns around and sells it to this data analytics firm that works for political campaigns. And that is where the problem is. Suddenly, we are finding an actual smoking gun situation where your data is actually being sold to someone. That is not how it's supposed to work. The way it's supposed to work is that Facebook has the data. When an advertiser comes to them, they say, hey, I want to send it to a bunch of nerdy 35-year-olds who live in San Francisco who are interested in Star Trek. And they will send the ad there. They don't give them any information about who I am. And the difference here is that now this company that isn't Facebook and I never agreed to may have my information. And that is a huge, huge problem.
So two things about that. Did you really just use the term Hoover up?
Yes, I did use the term Hoover up.
I got stuck on that.
A lot of people have been pointing out that I'm actually from the 20s and that I'm an old man, apparently.
I just wanted to make sure that I clarified that. So because... Look, the reason I asked the question is because, and Facebook's not the only company that's doing this, and I understand the distinction that you're trying to make, but what they do is they gather data from people. Remember when years ago we were like, hey, how does Facebook make money, right? Well, now we know how they make money because—
You are the product.
Yes,
exactly.
We are the product.
And that's always been the case.
Yeah, yes. So they get the data, they try to target ads, they allow the third parties to use the data, and I guess that's what you're saying where it gets a little tricky here, because is there a law that they're violating by doing this, or just an understanding between those of us who are Facebook users and who aren't Facebook users?
Right, so there's actually a mix of these things. So there is a consent decree, which is when the Federal Trade Commission came after Facebook during a last privacy problem, where they were required to make sure they got our approval as users whenever our information was shared with anybody. And so that is why when you log into Facebook through an app, right, you download an app like a Candy Crush or whatever, and you want to log in with Facebook, and it goes to Facebook and says, are you sure? That is the FTC requirement. And what happened here is that your friend may have done it. The only 270,000 people ever used this personality thing. But through it, this company was able to get profiles of 50 million people. And so that is where the problem is that we never consented to this. And as far as the government is concerned, that is a huge, huge, huge problem.
Well, I guess you got to give credit to the developers of the app because they were just developing an app, right?
Right. Well, actually, that's the thing, is that this seems to have been, and again, this is based upon a whistleblower and reporting from the New York Times and the Guardian, that a lot of deception was happening. First off, that users didn't know that what the intention of this was, right? And ostensibly to sell this data to this political advertising company, which is called Cambridge Analytica. So that's one thing, right? There was deception on their part. Then when Facebook found out 3 years ago, by the way, and told them all, hey, delete your data immediately and send us a legal letter saying that you promised that you're doing it. That when they sent that legal letter, that Facebook was lied to again. And so there's deception there. And then finally, by the way, you and me, we're only finding out about this 3 years later. So Facebook also failed to tell us about a major leak of information until, you know, the New York Times and the Guardian decided to write about it.
Isn't it, Ian, just a little, kind of a little strange for people who are Facebook users, of which I am one, to complain about privacy when that's all we do is post things on our page daily that are not private and that anyone virtually can see? I mean, I know there's privacy settings and you can restrict some things that people can see. But look, it's out there. I guess if there wasn't an app that was consolidating this information, I'm going to use an extreme example. I suppose someone could just look through Facebook pages and say, okay, this person is interested in that. And they could do it the old-fashioned way. It would take a while to get to 50 million users. But is it that big of a deal?
You know, it is insofar as we trusted Facebook, right? We had an agreement that we agreed upon in which Facebook said they were going to protect our data and that they were only going to use it to target advertising to us that they were the middleman on. They weren't going to sell our data to the highest bidder. They weren't going to do this other stuff. And Facebook, until this moment, appeared to be following through with that promise. And so that is the problem, is what is it that we have agreed to? And if the agreement changes and it says Facebook says, I'm going to send your data whoever wants it, then fine. But tell us, get us to agree to that. That is where the government is coming down, is they want us to at least know what the rules are so that we can play the game. And by the way, I think that, you know, people who use Facebook, they don't lose the right to complain because, you know, this is a term, victim blaming, right? Like if you were using Facebook, yeah, maybe you don't expect to have a ton of privacy about everything you posted, but that doesn't mean that suddenly everything is fair game. You know, if you had privacy settings, if you were doing the right stuff on Facebook, you should have an expectation that Facebook is following through on their end of the deal. And that they aren't, then that is a huge problem.
So Ian Scher from CNET is here. Don't other companies do exactly what Facebook is doing? And they actually sell, Google's, for example, is one company. I mean, they sell data. Data is vitally important to whether it's political campaigns or advertisers. And there's a whole lot of ways that our data is out there. Maybe not specifically on Ian Scher or Mark Reardon, but on this particular user with this particular pattern in this particular demo in this particular city and state.
So I'm going to remind you again, in fact, Google, Facebook, and all the rest of them, of the tech companies, do not sell your data, at least according to all the reporting and knowledge we have right now. They what they do is they act as middleman, and they send advertisements to us from advertisers, and it goes through them. There is no data about me that ever goes to Coca-Cola or Ford or anybody. And so that is a very important thing, because what is going on here is that the stream is only supposed to be one way. And if my data gets out to these political advertising companies, then what happens against my will, right? Then what happens is that they are able to try and use this data, turn around and possibly manipulate elections, right? We don't know half of these companies who they are. We don't know who their executives are. There's no way to hold them accountable. That's all that stuff, right? One thing we know for sure, Mark Zuckerberg right now is being torched in the press. This is how accountability works. And so that's the important thing, is if we don't know who these people are, then we can't come after them and make sure that they're doing the right thing.
So this guy, Jim Messina, worked for Obama in 2012. And I just want to get your reaction to this, because, look, this micro-targeting is happening, and whether it's from Facebook or other companies.
Absolutely.
This is happening on a regular basis. So here's what he said.
We decided on the first day of the campaign to use data across department because we thought it was the best avenue to the truth. And we ended up using data to inform almost every major decision we did in the campaign. And we had a singular goal to run a personalized campaign where you got a different campaign than you did, all based on our ability to move you and persuade you to vote and support Barack Obama. And there's 332 electoral votes. It shows it worked.
All right. So if companies, again, that was in 2012, right? For 2013, after the 2012 election. But if that micro-targeting is going on and there's data that is gleaned out there or being purchased or whatever, where are they getting the data from?
So part of the data is actually coming from, there are companies out there who make a point of getting data from, for example, retailers, because retailers actually do sell data. And, you know, you've got credit card companies, they have data that they make available. And so there are companies out there where they are able to do this. Look, Cambridge Analytica, this firm that is in the middle of all of this mess, they say they have voter profiles on 320 million U.S. voters. That's pretty much all of us. Sorry, 230 million.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all of us. I mean, there are only 250 million eligible voters,
right,
in the United States.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're talking about Facebook right now. That's 50 million profiles. So first off, it's about how did they get the data? Did they do it above board or not? And the question is, right now we're saying, you know, the New York Times and The Guardian are saying this was not above board. This broke all the rules. It possibly violated FTC rules. And on top of that, Facebook appears to have been lied to. So those are where the problems are. If all this stuff was above board, which so far from all the reporting that I've seen, the Obama Make campaign was working above board, then that's fine, right? Then we at least know what the rules are and we can play the game, and we can, if we want to disagree, then we can disagree on the rules. But when we don't know who's doing what and we don't know what the rules are, that's a huge red flag.
So
again, this happened 3 years ago.
Yeah.
We are only finding out about this now.
Well, yeah, so that raises the question, what happened last year? One final question here, though, on the future of Facebook, because there's this movement out there, and I don't know how far it gets because you have campaigns that start, whether they're on Twitter or other platforms. The irony is this is starting on Twitter, but it's about Facebook. But it's like, quit, you know, never Facebook, quit Facebook, dump Facebook, all these things, which tie in not only to the controversy and the scandal right now, but also the notion that, and I tend to agree with this, and I've backed off Facebook, that all you see on there is people doing political rants and getting nasty and angry and stuff like that, which is not good for any of us. But the long-term effects here is Mark Zuckerberg personally in trouble, and is Facebook facing serious issues and consequences from all this?
Well, I will tell you that it appears Mark Zuckerberg is at least somewhat in trouble. I mean, you have senators and congressmen left and right calling for him to go to the Hill. You have people in the UK Parliament also calling him to go over there and put his right hand up and swear to the truth and talk about it. And that is serious, because in the past, the last couple of times that Facebook has been called to the Hill, they've sent a lawyer or they've sent a lobbyist. And so they've been able to get away with not sending someone like Mark Zuckerberg or the COO, Sheryl Sandberg. So that is a big deal right there, right? Are they in long-term trouble? I honestly don't know. I think that ultimately what's going to happen is that there's been talk about legislation about political ads and making sure that they are very transparent on Facebook and Twitter, which, by the way, they have to be transparent on the television, right? Every time at the end of political ad or at the beginning, they say, I am so-and-so and I approve this message. That is that you may think that's hokey, but that's actually a law.
Yep, you have to do that.
Those aren't followed online. And so making those forced to be followed online would not be beyond reason. But beyond that, I don't know what's going to happen. Right now you're hearing a lot of fire and fury coming from all sorts of places. Congress is starting to spin up their anger machine at them, and you don't know how this is going to go. But I guarantee you, the honeymoon that existed between the tech industry and Congress for the last 30 years, it is over. And we are staring down the barrel of some serious regulation here.
Ian Scher from CNET, great information. Thank you so much for joining me again this afternoon, Ian. Good to talk with you.
My pleasure.
And what he said there at the end is what concerns me, because what do we there's a few things we do great in this country. We overreact to pretty much everything, and we create bureaucratic nightmares. And I tend to think that, you know, if people want to get off Facebook, and this is what we'll ask you this afternoon, get off Facebook if you don't like it. If you like it, stay on Facebook. If you're worried about privacy, maybe don't be on Facebook. 436-7900. 1-800-925-1120. There are some other reasons that people think you should get off Facebook, and we'll address those as well. But are you worried? I guess that's the question. Are you worried about your information, your data, your life being sold to other companies if you're on Facebook? Is this something that does need to be regulated and for the feds to get further involved with? Or will the free market basically kind of work this out? 436-7900. Ian, a guest on the Goodwill guest line this afternoon. A reminder, another code word in the spring break cash escape is coming up at 325 and 425. All right, let's take some phone calls this afternoon. The phone line's open, 436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. I have mixed feelings about some of this. I don't know that this is the biggest scandal on the planet. I do think that this is where not only political campaigns, but advertisers are heading. Data is very, very valuable when you have access to it. Now, am I thrilled with people selling my private information? No, but I do think that if you have a situation where you're on a social media platform, you give up a little privacy there, right? Is that just me that feels that way? I mean, we're posting pictures and comments about everything that we believe, and we're exposing our families and our kids to the world on Facebook. And again, sometimes you can restrict what other people see with your privacy settings. But, you know, if you don't like Facebook, if you're concerned about some of these things, then get off. Just don't do it anymore. And I'm wondering how many people will actually do that. I think with adults in particular, though, kids don't really like Facebook, right? That never really took off. Like, my kids are barely on it. It's more Snapchat or Instagram or Twitter. Probably Instagram these days more than anything else, which is interesting. I love that platform. I love Instagram. I've been doing Instagram stories quite a bit. I've been doing some Instagram stories here with some of the shows. And by the way, if you want to follow on Instagram, it's simply Mark Talk, MarkTalk. Ben, you're first up this afternoon. How are you? You're on KMOX.
I'm an older guy. I don't understand exactly what you're talking about. I don't understand Twitter. I don't understand what you were just talking about. I know my son's on that. I know my son is not on Facebook. I see people my age on Facebook talking about their grandkids. Where are they getting this information about? I didn't see anything on Facebook about the election. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong place.
I think it's a combination. What you would see about the election is that depending on who, you know, I don't even know how they determine it, but depending on what your feed looks like, you would have a feed full of your friends' comments or their pictures, and then you would, based on the things that you click or have searched around on, and I'm not sure if Google works with this. I'd have to double check or think about the specifics of Facebook, but there are ads that pop up or messages that pop up based on your likes and dislikes.
Well, let me ask you this. I made my decision on who to vote for, you know, through the debates. I mean, you could compare the two. And the other stuff is just propaganda from the elections. Now, am I like most people? Are most people looking? I mean, how many people are looking at Facebook to see who to vote for?
Well, I don't think it's a matter of, there's a couple things about that. I don't think people are depending on Facebook to decide who they vote for. But the issue of fake news was significant. And a lot of the stories that were manufactured or simply not true were spread throughout Facebook. So people, and believe it or not, people are influenced by this. One story that comes to mind, and I've shared this a couple of times. There was a person who is a follower of mine on Facebook and a friend. It's a wife of someone I know. And I'm not picking on this person, but I want to offer it as an example. And there was a real crazy anti-Hillary story that came out during the campaign. It was one of those extreme conspiracy things. I can't even remember. There were so many of them, I can't even remember which one it was. And this person posted on her page, I don't know if this is true, but, and then they posted it anyway. So, and it wasn't true, and I think that was reckless and irresponsible, but people have done that, and it gets annoying. And one of the reasons I'm not a particular fan of Facebook these days is because of the political rants. I think if you want to do a political rant, come on my show here and do one during a call, or, you know, it's what I do for a living. I realize people can do what they want. I don't have to be their friends on Facebook, or I don't have to follow them. But I get your point, because were people influenced more by what they saw on Facebook any more than what they saw on television, which, even though it has that tag that Ian Scheer referred to, paid for by citizens who support, you know, Claire McCaskill or whoever the candidate might be, is that any less influential?
Well, again, how many people are looking at Facebook? I mean, are we talking about a couple million, or is it the 240 million your guest was talking about?
Well, millions and millions of people are.
But, I mean, did it really happen? I guess, like you said earlier.
Well, there's two things about this. I think let's not confuse the issue. Whether or not it influenced the election, I don't know. Maybe it did. But the issue that we're talking about today and this week is whether or not Facebook should have shared private information and data from you, from me, from all the Facebook users with Cambridge Analytica when technically the terms of service said that they wouldn't do that. That's the issues. There's a couple of different issues here. Whether or not the Russian influence and the peddling or the meddling or whatever you want to call it influenced people. I think that there were a lot of factors that went into whether someone voted for Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump.
By the way, I think the big story right now is GDP, first quarter GDP is going to be below 3%. It was below 3% last quarter. I think that's the biggest story.
Meaning that the economy is not growing as quickly as we hope?
Right.
Okay, well, let me tell you something. If it grows at near 3%, that's better than 80% of the quarters when Barack Obama was president. So I'm gonna take that. Because remember, the first quarter when Barack Obama was president, what was the excuse? Oh, you know what? That was winter. We got to write that off. That first quarter doesn't count because it was winter. So if we have GDP numbers that are even close to 3% for the first quarter, with all the nor'easters and the ice and all the storm, that's a huge win. That's big. We're barely in the 1%. We had quarters that were zero. There was one a few years ago that was in negative territory. I think that was a first quarter, and the blame was put on snow and winter, even though, breaking news here, this is not fake news, winter happens every year. Gail, you're on KMOX.
So I'm a little concerned that it's not just Facebook. I'm going to give you an example. Today, my brother and I met at Delmar Gardens Nursing Home for a care meeting for my mother. And when my brother got in his car this morning, his navigation system told him how many miles that was to Delmar Gardens. He's never entered that into his navigation system. Honestly, I think somehow It's reading our emails and knew where he's going. Another example, last Sunday morning, I got in my car and got ready to go to church, and it pops on my phone as so many miles to my church. So my, you know, it knows that I go to church on Sunday morning and where.
Yeah, my phone, every time I start to head home, it tells me how long and where my home is. And then when I come down, when I come downtown, it doesn't say I'm coming here to KMOX. It says I'm going to Alumni, which is the restaurant down in this building. So I know what you're talking about.
But that's kind of creepy.
Well, the mapping apps definitely do that. And by the way, this is happening with a lot of these apps. When you press OK on the terms of service, and when you press yes, enable location services, which with a mapping app you pretty much have to do, yeah, they're tracking you. They don't know that you, Gail, are going to Del Mar Gardens by name or any other personal information. At least we don't think they are. But they know that there's a user in St. Louis, Missouri that fits your profile, that is you, that is making treks to this particular location and that location from point A to point B on Wednesday and Thursday, and that information is collected, and my understanding is it's sold.
Well, like I said, the reason I'm concerned is my brother has never been on Facebook, and this isn't an annual meet, you know, a weekly meeting that he goes. Somehow the car knew today, a brand new car about a week old, knew he was going to Del Mar Gardens.
Yeah, today. It's weird because I have that. Did you say the car knew that or the phone knew that?
I think it was his car.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm not sure how that would have worked. There's probably someone out there smarter than us that could explain that, but thanks for the call. Gary, you're on KMOX. Good afternoon.
Your phone tells you how far you are from church. That's a simple explanation. It's an act of God. It's that simple. You know, there's so much information collected in bulk. You know, and if it's sold or however it's used, politics, whatever, you don't hear much about the U.S. Census Bureau. I mean, they collect all this information. People use it. You know, if I want to run for dog catcher of St. Louis County, and I go to the United States Census Bureau and find out senior citizens are most likely to vote, and they have a dog, and they go to PetSmart. You know what I'm going to target. So I don't see the big hoopla, because I think this information is gathered in bulk, and it's just general information. You know, like, you know, senior citizens are 60. You know.
Well, you know, to your point, remember when we had the controversy during I guess this goes back to the Bush administration about the NSA data gathering and the methods to prevent terrorism. What's the term that I'm using or looking for? I'll think about this during the break. And there was fear that the government was spying on people when what was happening was simply, it's not exactly simple. If there was a phone call that was made, what was that called? Like, Dave, what was that? I got to think about it. There was a phone call that was made from St. Louis to Tehran that sent off a red flag or something, then that might be a point of interest for the government. It wasn't that, you know, Gary was calling from St. Louis, but it would spark some interest. I'll think about that during the break. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more 436-7900 on KMOX.
He's on Twitter at Mark Reardon, KMOX. He's on your radio now. Mark Reardon on News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Another reminder, we have a spring break code word coming up 3:25 this afternoon, also 4:25, your chance to win $1,000. If you text that code word when I deliver it to you at 3:25 or 4:25 into a certain number that I will also give you, you could win $1,000. It's a national contest. We've had several local winners. So I got to get to this just because I heard it this morning, and John Collins Muhammad, the Board of Aldermen, one of the wackadoodles here in St. Louis, had some issues with the law in the past and, you know, I think was exposed as quite the hypocrite in the past few months. He doesn't seem to be bothered by that. But Kevin Killeen did a whole nother story, and I thought this was worth hearing.
What has this taught you, what you went through?
Our community needs help all the way around. I think the same issue or situation I was experiencing, many people in my community and outside of my community are experiencing the same problems.
Driving with a suspended license.
Yeah, so he got a bunch of tickets, and then he drove with a suspended license. And he tried to make the case that this was a racial issue. It was the rest of ours' fault that he was breaking the law. It wasn't his fault. There was no personal responsibility. But if you're white in particular, it's your fault that John Collins Muhammad got tickets and did not pay them and then ended up having a warrant issued for his arrest and landed in the clink.
Or not having the resources to pay for an excessive amount of tickets.
But you're an alderman. People are going to wonder, what happened with you? How much did you owe that you couldn't pay it off?
All these tickets actually occurred when I was a sophomore in college, almost several years ago. And I just didn't handle the situation in a timely or efficient manner. But of course, I mean, aldermen are not rich, contrary to popular belief. But the situation is taken care of and handled now.
Are you all paid up?
Yes.
How much did it come to, may I ask?
Around $600 altogether.
You for $600 you were driving around getting arrested?
It's just something I threw to the back burner. I was focused on my community, so I put a lot of my own personal issues to the side.
To be in jail, it's got to give you a glimpse of what a lot of people go through.
I wasn't treated like an alderman, so it was completely different. And
how was the food?
I didn't eat, so.
I think I would probably treat people in prison or jail better than I would members of the Board of Aldermen, at least half the members of the Board of Aldermen. But I love the fact that John Collins Muhammad, who I'm sure, I think would hope, would preach personal responsibility to some of his constituents, can't practice what he preaches. Second hour of the show and a chance to win $1,000 coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.